Hello and welcome to another edition of Tech Plus as we head towards the end of October, which is just unreal. Like 60-something days to go to Christmas, Kane. Hello to you.
I know it's October, but it definitely doesn't feel like the 10th month of the year.
No, man. You know what I mean? You know, it's scary. Every day it feels like the world is just turning faster and faster.
It does.
And it worries me because not only do we have a lot of things to do, but we get older much faster now.
You know, you can do things that feel like they take a long time to get through. You know, it can be like waiting at Home Affairs.
Oh, that's especially long.
I'm just going to start incorporating activities like that into my week so that I just feel time slow down, you know?
No, listen, it's pretty scary, actually.
It is.
It is. And this week, how was the tech world? How was the tech world this week?
We've had a lot of advancements. I mean, the Israel-Hamas war doesn't help the tech world go any faster. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But there's still been a considerable amount of updates that have happened, and specifically for South Africa, for example. Apparently, there's no load shedding this weekend.
That's just unreal.
Unreal.
I don't trust it.
In fact, apparently there was supposed to be no load shedding from 10 o'clock on Thursday until 4 o'clock on Monday. And if all is said and done, this will be the first time since September 2022 that South Africa has had more than 3 continuous days without power cuts.
So we're actually seeing an improvement.
Well, yes, I think one, we are seeing an improvement, but two, I've also think we've become quite complacent because I had no idea that we had, since September 2022, that we had not had more than 3 days without power cuts.
You see, we get so used to it.
We do, hey?
And it shouldn't be like that because we shouldn't get used to it. But I know that they brought a new unit back online. It's not Coburg, is it? It was one of the other units, was it Medupi, I think, that they brought back online this week or late last week, and that added another 800 and something megawatts to the grid, eh? That's almost equivalent to one stage of load shedding, which is 1,000 megawatts.
Absolutely. I think they've...
It's helping a lot.
Yeah, they've reduced breakdowns to 12,925 megawatts. And planned maintenance is at about 5,000 megawatts of generation capacity. So that's significantly better than what we've seen in the past.
And also the cold weather is gone, so yes. Less heaters.
Less heaters, but I mean,
more air cons.
I feel like in the peak of winter, it seemed to me like there was times, you know, that it didn't really correlate. Like load shedding and temperature didn't really correlate. So I don't know what the biggest driving factors are of energy consumption, but I don't feel like it's air conditioners and heaters, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think now with the heat coming, I think we're going to see more because high temperatures, the grid doesn't like high temperatures. We saw in Texas.
Oh, my word. Yeah, I remember that story.
They even paid Bitcoin miners up to, I think, $100 million, some of them, to stop mining Bitcoin to reduce their electrical consumption because it was so hot that the grid was taking strain. So I think if South Africa sees really, really hot summers where the heat itself puts pressure on the grid and then people combat that heat with air conditioners, we're going to run into a Texas-like situation where we're putting far more pressure on the grid than we intend to.
Whoopsie, so you think we could see that in summer maybe?
No, I don't want to be negative. I believe that we'll see no load shedding for the next month, but time will have to tell. Oh, that is.
Oh my gosh.
Time will have to tell. And tell me, have you been following the Israel-Hamas story?
Every day when I read the news, yeah. I see our leaders visiting. I see our president Ramaphosa also this weekend going to some peace conference thing where they want to beg them to stop fighting.
Really?
Even, what do you call it? A peace something, something, something.
A peace treaty.
Yeah, or something.
Interesting.
Even for the Russians.
So there was a study that was done. Apparently, blue check marks on X are super spreaders of misinformation about the Israel-Hamas war, which is interesting because a lot of people will pick up news from Twitter and then make a TikTok about it, and then we see it in our TikTok feed. So one has to actually ask themselves, well, how much of the information that I've read about in the past 2-3 weeks is misinformation, is actually incorrect? There's definitely been a lot of information, like, you know, huge armies coming together, nuclear warheads coming out of the woodwork. You know, there's been a lot of stories like that. So I hope for our case that a lot of the news and information that's been coming out that is on the exaggerated side is just misinformation.
Yeah, but, you've got to be careful, eh?
We don't know. So apparently about 75% or 74% of the most engaged content is coming from blue-ticked individuals on Twitter. Shows you, I mean, I feel like the blue-tick logic has changed a lot on X now, formerly known as Twitter, because previously you would have some sort of respect for someone with a blue tick. It sounds crazy, but... You know, you see
it's
someone
more credible.
It's more credible. You know, you see someone like Katy Perry on Twitter with a blue tick, and it kind of, you know, you're seeing these big, massive figures with these blue ticks, and now a massive war is happening, and you see this really unbelievable bit of information, but it's coming from a blue tick. So
it must be true.
Must be true, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
So for $8 a month, you can create misinformation.
Yeah, and then also this week, Elon tried... charging people who sign up for Twitter for the first time a once-off fee of $1.
I also read that $1 will become a yearly fee.
Okay, but that's not a lot of money, obviously.
No.
It's just to get rid of the bots once again.
No, and people really don't like this. I mean, I see stuff like one of the pieces of... And it's funny, because one of the pieces of news I wasn't even going to feature, which is Slack... you know Slack.
Mm.
Slack's like the WhatsApp business platform. It's like Discord, but a little bit different. It's just where businesses communicate and chat, and where they chat with their internal team members and staff members. And they said that they've discontinued their status feed on X, which basically is if you're on Slack and there's some sort of outage or there's some sort of issue, if you go to Slack's Twitter or Slack's X account, they would tell you, hey, listen, you know, we have an outage at the moment, so, you know, you can expect some problems and things like that. And they've just announced that they're discontinuing that service because they don't feel they want to, and their exact statement was they want to continue to use services that their community is utilizing. So it's kind of like saying the Slack community doesn't use Twitter.
Mm.
And that makes me irritated because that's just a narrative. I mean, you can't tell me that everyone that is on Slack isn't using Twitter. Like, what have you based your analytics off of, you know, to say that you know, we're not using Twitter anymore because the majority of our users aren't on Twitter? Well, where are they? Because the majority of people have a Twitter account. So I just don't understand it, and I feel like a lot of the media is against X, and rightly so, because they've kind of been running a bad ship at the moment with the misinformation and the kind of erratic updates and changes. And kind of, if you message them, if you message the support channel, it's like, thanks, we're busy at the moment, we'll get back to you. But it's just an automated message. And remember the poo emoji?
Yeah.
When you used to reach out to Twitter support, you would just get a poo emoji back. That was their official public response. So they've made some mistakes. Didn't Elon Musk walk into the Twitter headquarters for the first time with a sink?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he carried a physical, literal sink into the headquarters, and that's how he started. So there's definitely some reasons to be upset, but also at the same time, you've got to kind of look at the media and be like, this is clearly being exaggerated to sell a narrative. And you literally talk about Twitter being responsible for misinformation, then you have people spreading misinformation about how Twitter isn't used anymore.
So
it's like just a bit of a wild, wild west out here for X. And I think Elon Musk is going to have his handful for the next, you know, the next year, trying to tame that beast. And I mean, talking about taming a beast, Elon Musk also lost 305 billion rand in a single day. So Musk's fortune slumped by $16.1 billion, or 304.72 billion rand, Thursday after Tesla Incorporated's weak third quarter earnings weighed on shares. Musk, who is the richest person on the planet with a fortune of $209.6 billion, or 3.99 trillion rand, owns 13% of Tesla and derives the majority of his wealth from the auto company. Tesla shares fell 9.3% after it missed both earnings and sales expectations for the quarter. In a conference call following the earnings released on Wednesday, Musk repeatedly mentioned the toll of high interest rates on consumer confidence. Essentially, they fell short a little bit in sales this year, delivering 435,000 vehicles, which is still pretty impressive. You're like well over 1,200, 1,300 vehicles a day.
Yeah.
If you told me, Kane, would you please go out still there and manufacture 1,300 vehicles a day? I'd be like,
that's good.
That's it's a very hard ask. It's a lot of vehicles a day.
Yeah, yeah.
And it all has to do with production lines and things like that. But they I think they saw they had about $25 billion in revenue, but only $1.6 billion in actual profit. So they're reducing their margins. They're selling almost at a loss. They barely made some profit, and obviously that influenced Musk's wealth. And it just goes to show, you know, we see with something like Takealot, I think Takealot still hasn't made a profit.
What?
I read somewhere that they still haven't, they're like still yet to make a significant profit. Because remember when when Takealot came in, they were underselling. Remember that? Everyone would be like, you can't find a better price than Takealot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's true. You couldn't. You really, like, it was very difficult. And they had free delivery. So every other...
Oh, man, I forgot about that, actually.
Every other e-commerce store, you would pay 300, 400 rand for delivery. And here you get it for free, even if you're buying a 300 rand item.
And now they've got big competition as well, because Amazon has now been confirmed for next year in South Africa. I mean, it took so long, but this week they actually said 2024... we're opening amazon.co.za.
Really, hey?
Yeah, like totally confirmed. We don't know where, we don't know when, but definitely next year.
Well,
they keep postponing.
That's so interesting, because even as of now, another topic that I wasn't going to originally cover, but I guess we can talk about it now as well, is Takealot is currently getting a lot of pressure from the anti-competition council, essentially, of South Africa.
Is that the Competition Commission?
Yeah, basically saying that, you know, it believes that Takealot's practices are that of anti-competitive nature, you know, reducing the ability for other e-commerce stores in South Africa to be competitive, you know, to remain in a competitive landscape with Takealot and ultimately make a success for themselves. Which is crazy, because a lot of people really, I mean, South Africa has lost a lot of economies from, you know, COVID, then load shedding. It's been pretty challenging to see an essentially a well-developed e-commerce industry in South Africa that is mainly pioneered by Naspers Takealot is actually something to be genuinely positive about. You know, it's not Amazon that's successful in South Africa. It's not eBay. It's a South African-based e-commerce giant that beat Kalahari.net and really overtook Bid or Buy.
What happened to Kalahari.net, or did that turn into Takealot?
Either, I might be wrong, I think either Takealot bought Kalahari.net or Bid or Buy bought Kalahari.net.
I remember Kalahari.net so well. But listen, you just mentioned loss of income due to load shedding. This week, the commissioner of the South African Revenue Service said that he estimates the rolling blackouts may have cost the country's economy as much as 150 billion rand in lost revenue.
That's mad, eh? That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Not 150 million, billion.
Yeah, you really got to ask. Crazy, yeah. You got to ask yourself, well, what would have happened if that was injected into the economy?
You would
feel the difference. It'd be a difference.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so that's very unfortunate, and that's unfortunately what we see from something like load shedding. And hey, I mean, at the end of the day, load shedding is suspended for the longest period of time since 2022, September 2022, in the literal last year. So it's a positive sign for me, at least. That
it is, but I never trust the piece. It's sometimes they always, you know, say, oh no, it's going to go better now, and then it kind of looks like it, and then bam, stage four.
I just feel like I just have this feeling that I'm just going to see a load shedding schedule come in on like Sunday. Or Monday. I just don't know why, but it just happens like that. You know, you just become too comfortable, and then it's like,
surprise.
Back to darkness, my old friend. You know.
But let's celebrate no load shedding with a music break.
Let's do it.
I've been drinking, and it's in the mind, and it's a toxic feeling. I ain't joking, I think I'm broken. Something triggers me in any given moment. Wasn't my plan, but it's the truth. And it ain't a phase that I'm going through. All
Cause I could be alone or in the club or someone else's bed. All I gotta do is think of us, and I get these side effects. Feeling like the more I'm moving on, the more I can't forget. Every time I get these side effects. People talking, and I've been dodging. Every question about you is so exhausting. I still got your number. Sometimes I wonder where you are tonight, whose body you are under. Wasn't my plan, but it's the truth. No, it ain't a phase that I'm going through. It's all that I am, it's all that I do. I could be alone or in the club or someone else's bed. All I gotta do is think of us, and I get these side effects. Feeling like the more I'm moving on, the more I can't forget. Every time I get these side effects.
Welcome back to Tech Plus with myself, Ion, and also Kane, discussing the week's biggest tech stories. Now, Kane, what have you got for us next, sir?
So we're going to be talking a little bit more about Elon Musk, just wrapping up with some of his news because we're not at the end yet. Do you remember the Cybertruck?
Yes.
Right. So that's been like the longest ongoing car release, I think, in history, especially for Tesla. I mean, we've been hearing about the Cybertruck for ages, and I've yet to really see it like actively on the road. But anyway, Elon Musk has said that, and I quote, "We dug our own grave with the Cybertruck, as they've offered another new delivery date." So Tesla's first pickup deliveries will take place on November 30th at the Gigafactory in Texas, as Musk tries to temper expectations. So the Cybertruck finally has a delivery date. According to a company post on X, along with its third quarter earnings today, Tesla announced that long-delayed Cybertruck electric pickup will have its first deliveries during the Gigafactory event on the 30th of November. The company is also expected to announce pricing then, which was originally pegged at $39,900 when first announced in 2019. It's 2023. We're almost 2024. Four years later. So on Tesla's Q3 earnings call on Wednesday, Elon Musk said he wanted to temper expectations as production ramp-up for the Cybertruck will be extremely difficult. Musk says Tesla is targeting 250,000 Cybertrucks per year in the future, but that won't happen until after 2024. Now, what's crazy to me is that this year, you know, over the last year, Tesla has delivered 435,000 vehicles.
Yo.
So to expect that your Cybertruck is going to net in at about 250,000 or 250,000 vehicles per year is, I just don't know how. You're talking about 50% more cars than you're already making right now in the next year. That's just, for me, I don't know. It sounds very far-fetched. I don't know how they're going to just... We just spoke about how crazy it is to do 400,000 cars a year and then to release a new production model that's technically quite challenging and difficult to make profit on, and then scale the manufacturing to 250,000 a year. And that being said, there are currently 1 million people in the reserved queue. So these are individuals that have put their name down, probably put some money down with it and said, I want one of these cars. And they're going to produce 250,000 a year by the end of the year. By the next, after 365 days, that's when they'll start hitting that amount, which means it'll take them 4 years just to give the Cybertruck to everyone that's put their name down. Not me, not you. If you haven't put your name down for it, forget about it. You're not getting it at least for another 4 years, unless you buy it secondhand, in which case, good on you. Can I take a drive with you? So that's why he says we dug our own grave with a Cybertruck, accepted a million orders, have this massive production pressure.
Oh, good luck.
Good
luck. That must be tremendous pressure.
Sure, I can't even. And remember when he went up on stage to show off his Cybertruck and proceeded to throw a brick through the window? That was supposed to be bulletproof. And I still think it was a marketing technique. Give it to
probably
this day.
Probably
are. You
yeah,
know, I
right.
do think it is. And then another reason for Tesla's profit dip is actually because of factory upgrades. They did a lot of factory upgrades in the last year, which does lean a little bit into them increasing their production rate. And then also AI development. They're working on a lot of AI stuff as well. Naturally, I'm very interested to see what Tesla comes out with. I mean, Elon Musk warned us all about AI. Then he basically made AI what it is today by cash loading OpenAI, I think, with a huge amount of cash. I can't remember if it was OpenAI. I think it was OpenAI with their large language model, if I remember correctly. But he basically pumped a whole bunch of cash in there, and that's why we see it having gone so far today. So I don't know what strings he can pull from the AI development side, but it's most certainly a powerful positioning that he has in that particular market. And he already has his self-driving cars. I mean, that's using AI 100%. And I'm very interested to see what happens there. He's a smart guy, but he's seeing a bit of pressure now. Twitter and Tesla earnings down. It's all well and good having five companies until three of them start acting up at the same time.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And he's still got lawsuits here about cars. He's got his hands full this year. He's got his hands full.
At least he can afford a decent massage, you know.
Exactly.
All the stress.
Well, I think he bought Twitter, what was it for? For $50 billion,
I can't remember. It was some crazy amount.
So the crazy thing is the deal between Microsoft and Activision for Microsoft. Microsoft wanted to acquire Activision. Activision is the game manufacturer or the game developers for Call of Duty. Franchise. Diablo, which is also a very popular franchise and probably one of the most popular, well-known franchises, World of Warcraft. So Xbox, or Microsoft, who owns Xbox, acquired or wanted to acquire Activision. And the anti-competition landscape, they came down and they're like, no ways, you're not going to monopolize that industry like that. And they went into court and they got approved to go through with the deal. And as of today, they spent $69 billion on Activision. So if you think, you know, okay, wow, I mean, Twitter sold for a lot, but Activision sold for $70 billion. And that just goes to show like how much they value gaming. That's just a gaming industry.
Yeah.
One game development studio was ranked higher than that of Twitter, which is, there's a lot of users on Twitter. But if that's not enough to rock your world, get ready for this next thing. I think the value of Pokemon as an intellectual property is $140 billion. It's $140 billion industry. Pokemon.
I can believe it. It's been around for very long.
Four times the value of Twitter.
Yeah.
And twice the value of Activision. Over $100 billion value.
That's crazy.
It's a card game. It started out as a card game, as an IP.
Yes,
an intellectual property.
And then it became a cartoon that you watched after school.
And a game.
And the Tazos.
Yes.
All that kind of stuff. Oh, I miss it, man.
It's still here.
Who's your favorite Pokemon, by the way?
I miss the Pokemon craze. I play Pokemon now.
Okay, but who's your favorite Pokemon? What is it, Pikachu?
No, that's everybody's favorite Pokemon. That
what, Jigglypuff? Jigglypuff is so cute. That little pink thing with the cute eyes, and then it starts singing, and then you fall asleep.
Yeah, you know.
And what's the other one? Tokupi or something.
There's
little,
so many.
Little star. Misty the girl always carried the little star. I think it had like a nappy on.
You were quite a fan, eh?
Yes, after school, man.
Really?
And we collected all the Tazos and all that stuff.
And what about like Dragon Ball Z and...
That's when I got too old for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but Pokemon, definitely, after school. And you used to get the Tazos in with the Pokemon. And then, like, you'd say to your friend, hey, I've got a Pikachu. I've got two Pikachus. What have you got? Let's swap, you know? And they used to come in these Simba chips packets. So,
wow.
Yeah, like, buy chips after school to see. And then you're like, oh, no, I've already got this one. And then you just swap it out with a friend who's also got, like, extras. Yeah.
That was good.
Oh, man, eh? Now you're taking me back here.
That was good. That, oh, there was excitement made out of that.
I miss this now, man.
And when you get a limited edition one.
Here? Yeah. Yeah.
This doesn't do the same as seeing it on your phone, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's not the same.
It's this physical. Mm-mm. Those Tezos were cool, man.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just Pokemon. I think there were lots of different types of Tezos. That was clever for them putting that in chip packets. And
can you imagine the sales, hey?
It's
brilliant.
Huge.
That was so good. Genius. I miss it, really.
I mean, I think they sell in America, I think they sell a pack of Pokemon cards for like $7, $8. And I recently looked up the production cost of those cards. And I think it comes to about 60 cents for that same pack. So, I mean, they're making like 800% on those cards. So that's it's a very well...
But what happened to the Pokemon game where the people used to go out and then just start walking in random places to catch a Pokemon or something?
Isn't that a good question, eh?
Like, you don't see people doing it anymore. No. I remember when it was like a huge craze, I was in Cape Town at the V&A waterfront, and there was this guy just walking up and down with his phone, and I thought he was, you know, high on something, but he was playing Pokemon, and he had to be in that location to catch that specific Pokemon. But for somebody on the outside who doesn't know what he's doing, it looked like he was a complete maniac. The way he was pacing up and down with his phone and holding it up in the air.
Disgruntled Pokemon hunter. Found him on streets.
It was crazy. All these teens with their phones and walking in different directions and holding the phone up and stuff to catch a Pokemon.
That's so cool, actually.
Yeah. That was so quite cool, weird. And also seeing people parking their cars in odd places to catch Pokemons.
And you know, it's evolved so much that eventually it went onto our phone and apps. And now they even released, just like a few months ago, we covered on the Tech Show, Pokemon Sleep. Where while you're sleeping, you can catch Pokemon. You wake up in the morning.
Oh, yeah, you told us. You told us.
Yeah.
And Jigglypuff's probably singing to keep you sleeping. Oh, that's really
cool. It's wild, eh? So here's some more news as well. Instagram is starting to test out polls in the comments, which is interesting. I've never seen a poll on Instagram before.
Not on Instagram.
I don't even think I've ever missed it. I don't think I've ever been like, I wish I could just put a poll in my comments. I don't think that's ever been something that I've wanted to do.
No, because it's so photo-driven.
Yeah.
Video-driven. You never see a poll there, really.
No. Well, I guess they don't have the functionality for a poll, but I've never wanted to post a poll.
Mm-mm.
Like, I've never
not
seen
personally,
it there.
No.
But maybe there's some people out there that are like, Instagram just isn't the same without a poll.
What should I eat tonight? A, burger. B, pizza.
Start living the life by the poll results.
Yeah.
Oh, that is too funny. And then we have Reddit, which still is investing in its NFT avatars. If you didn't know, on Reddit you can actually share NFT avatars, which are based on blockchain. And the platform is also going to roll out collectible expressions, which let you slot in your collectible avatars into a library of expressions that has been created by Reddit. So it's interesting and also weird, because Reddit announced that they are that they're basically pulling away their blockchain based community points. So it's weird to see them say, okay, we're going to stick on the NFT, blockchain NFT craze, but also at the same time, we're going to pull our blockchain community points off. It's a strange move there. And here's something interesting, okay? Google will make the Pixel 8 in India too, right? So that's big. We spoke about it where Apple had announced that. So Google's Pixel 8 phones will be manufactured in India, will start to roll out next year. Google's move is similar to what we've seen from Apple, which started producing iPhones there in 2017, as it diversified its production line beyond China. This year, for the first time, it had India manufactured iPhone 15s for sale at launch. There's something very interesting there in that statement. What phone is the most complained about so far this year? The iPhone 15.
And it's still overheating. In fact, it's worsened again.
I actually have a friend of mine who lives in New Zealand who said he's just picked up the iPhone 15.
And okay.
He literally had a lot of bad stuff to say about it. He says it's
really
slow.
Tell us, tell us.
It's laggy.
Okay.
It overheats.
So it overheats, definitely.
He had some problems with it as well. So
really laggy.
On games, you like can't get good. It's supposed to be the first best gaming iPhone, and you can't really get a good gaming experience out of it.
What do you think went wrong here?
I don't think it's a case of every iPhone 15 is bad. I think certain iPhone 15s have issues in the manufacturing process or something that's caused
these defaults. Do you think they replaced something with a cheaper part?
I don't think
so. And now it's affecting it? Do you think the software updates aren't working?
I think something we often take for granted is the manufacturing process for these devices produced at scale. Apple's goal was to remove their production lines from China, to produce less iPhones out of China and produce more iPhones, in this case, out of India. Not just for cost, but also for the whole China-America market share war and all that sort of stuff. So I think in moving their production lines from China to India, I don't think India produces bad phones. I think the scale at which they need to produce phones is something that they wouldn't be super familiar with. And I think if you have one or two small kinks or a particularly high fail rate in your production timeline, it's going to spawn itself as hundreds of thousands of bad remarks and bad comments that spiral out of control. And that's what we see here. You know, they're trying to get their production lines out of China, and as a result, they're running into manufacturing flaws. And I've heard a lot of people complain about iPhone 15. I haven't heard a lot from Apple about people complaining about iPhone 15. Like, they're almost like radio silence on the matter.
Mm.
I haven't heard any statements.
It's probably
or
best
any,
to say nothing, because then you admit that there's a problem.
The minute you say something, you've taken receipt of that flaw. I don't know how long they can keep quiet for. I mean, people are just going to go back to the shop and be like, I don't want this phone. You know, it's not as
It really just sounds like a hot mess, eh?
It
literally
does.
Hot. Really is hot.
Hot mess. And before we go to the music break, Amazon says it has more than 10,000 electric delivery vans from Rivian on the road. Amazon and Rivian, if you don't know Rivian, they're an electric car van manufacturer, specifically for Amazon. And Amazon and Rivian signed an exclusive deal in 2019 for Amazon to order 100,000 of its Rivian vans. But Rivian reportedly wants to make some changes to the agreement. So yeah, that's where we see it. I mean, 10,000 electric vans run under Amazon's fleet. They're trying to make a green initiative. And when we come back from the music break, I've got one more piece of information about how Amazon is trying to reduce their carbon footprint.
That's when we come back here on Tech Plus.
I got that tip. No, I don't care about the pain.
Welcome back to Tech Plus, the final stretch for this week's edition. Kane is back with more tech news, and right now is going to tell us how Amazon is trying to make their carbon footprint smaller.
100%. So Amazon, as I understand it, they have about 180 warehouses globally. So across the world, in the USA they have 100,
sure.
And I think around the world they have 80. So it shows you
a large
concentration in the US.
Sure.
And as such, one thing Amazon does really well, it's deliver electronics and consumer-related products. And what do they produce? And what do they deliver it in? Cardboard boxes with bubble wrap and air pillows. Have you ever seen an air pillow?
Yeah, yeah.
A bit of plastic.
Yeah, I sometimes like keep it.
Yeah,
like,
in case.
I'm not throwing this away. Yeah. It's actually quite cute.
This air is valuable.
Yeah.
You know? So that's when you sending out thousands of packages every few hours from 180 warehouses across the entire earth, you're sharing a lot of waste. You know what I mean? There's a lot of non-recyclable problems there that they're doing. So Amazon eliminated plastic packaging at one of its warehouses. So Amazon's promise to quit plastic packaging has materialized at one facility in Ohio, but the company provides no timeline for something like a nationwide rollout. So this is them fulfilling a small part of its promise to switch from using plastic bubble mailers and air pillows to all recyclable paper packaging for its shipments. The company announced that it has outfitted one facility in Ohio with an upgraded packaging machine that can automatically fold custom fit boxes to wrap some products and use paper mailers for small items and slide in paper fillers instead of plastic ones in standard boxes. Amazon's efforts to switch to non-plastic materials come after the company's promise in July to cut out plastic mailers in favor of recyclable alternatives. Non-padded paper mailers are largely not as durable as plastic ones, but Amazon says it's developed paper rolls that can stretch and seal with heat and have some weather resistance and are curbside recyclable. Now, this is all well and good. This is a great bit of PR for Amazon. You know, that's fantastic. Ohio facility, not using any plastics. That's great. They have 180 warehouses, though. Mm. They've implemented in one of them, and they've given no timeline for any further rollout. Mm. So my question is it an initiative, or is it like, are you like showing face? Are you like showing something to timmer people down a little bit and then just continuing with it anyway? You know, on 179 other warehouses. I mean, and they said it's much more difficult to bring the renewable, recyclable solutions to their USA warehouses. But I mean, there's just a massive amount of plastic. That's a real issue, actually.
Yep.
It's a massive amount of plastic. Even when I get take a lot packages and things like that, just plastic. Plastic, plastic,
and
plastic.
Sometimes unnecessary plastic as well.
The one time, I swear to you, I ordered something off of Takealot. I think it was one item that comes with 8 little pieces. And they shipped each piece in its own little box.
Yeah, yeah.
I had so many boxes.
It's crazy. I once got one there was nothing in.
Really?
It was just a box with plastic in. I wasn't expecting anything else, but I was like, oh, maybe I got a bonus gift or something. They gave me a lot of plastic.
Premium
I don't know what happened there.
Air. Premium air.
Yeah, but all the way from waste, eh?
Unbelievable. And it opens your eyes. You don't think about this, you know. If you're not responsible for it, you don't know the scale. But I think if you could just take all the packages that go out today and just put them inside of the town in Knysna, it would be uncleanupable. It would take a whole day for the whole of Knysna to work together to remove all of this packaging material.
And that's happening daily.
Daily, just every day. Just dumped.
Very worrying.
Imagine what a week would look like if you just every day you dump every package and piece of cardboard that Amazon delivered and you just put it in Knysna CBD.
I don't want to. But chaos. I see, even this week, they said, I think it was Swedish scientists said they've worked out a way to recycle EV batteries. Can you believe
My
this?
My word, that's a yeah. big that's a
like
big
you
job.
You strip it, and then you can like extract 100% of the aluminium, and then 80% of the, oh, I don't know what the other thing is in there, lithium, I don't know.
Lithium, there'll be lithium yeah. iron, phosphate.
So they strip it completely, and then they can turn it into a new battery again.
Wow.
So who'd have thought that you can recycle an EV battery? I thought, you know, that wasn't quite possible.
Well, from what we've seen from Tesla and like the, you know, the infinite campfire that is a Tesla.
Infinite campfire, yeah. If you ever want a fire that just keeps going, all you need is an EV battery.
A match and a Tesla and
yes.
you are well
set
lit.
For life.
Yeah,
well lit.
No, that's absolutely crazy, eh? Now, GM, General Motors, and Honda are launching Cruise robo-taxis in Japan in 2026. So Cruise is moving at breakneck pace to get its driverless vehicles in more cities. The GM-backed company says it's targeting 12 more markets in the US alone. So this is an autonomous vehicle operator by the name of Cruise. And it's backed by General Motors, and they're launching a robo-taxi service in Japan. Mostly due to the fact that Japan has a serious lack of drivers because of the age of its population in general.
Mm.
So they lack drivers. They don't have enough drivers to go around. Which
what? Because people are too old?
Too old. It's not part of the market. You know,
wow.
When you have a generally older population and an upside down, you know, population pyramid, then,
yeah.
you know.
Because their birth rate also dropped
yeah.
a lot. So that's, you can see it now.
Yeah, so all makes your sense. Younger people, and remember when we spoke about, you know, when I went overseas, a lot of younger people have the easier jobs. They have, like, that's their starter job, being a taxi driver or being a clerk at McDonald's and things like that. That is how you most of the time you're working as a hotel clerk or one of these jobs while studying. So in Japan, when you don't have that much of a younger population, all of them that are young are probably employed. So if you have a shortage of drivers, you're asking people to, you know, instead of doing this job or that job, to be a driver. That's why something like autonomous vehicles would be very, very useful in somewhere like Japan. So Cruise originally launched in Dubai, and now they're moving over to Japan. So we're going to keep tracking that and see how that process goes. But yeah, autonomous vehicles are becoming more and more common. Not a person sitting in a car with the car driving itself, but like you getting a taxi and nobody is in the car, just you and the taxi. And the taxi's taking you where you need to go. And then we had the other driverless vehicles, which you can sit in the car and it'll drive you around, but if you forget to pay for your vehicle, it'll just drive itself back to the store.
Oh, that story was so funny. I was laughing for days after
days,
that story.
You know what I mean? Like, the world's going wild.
It is.
It's
but
absolutely crazy.
But do you think the two of us, being the age that we are, do you think that we'll still be driving in some of those cars?
In
we'll
20
be,
years.
We'll be in the back of a taxi that's driving itself somewhere.
It's really hard for me because I think if you asked me a while ago, I might have said something like, I think the wealthy will be in cars and the poor would be driven around everywhere. But right now, it's actually probably more expensive to have a driverless car.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the extremely wealthy will not drive and the poor might drive.
Mm.
I don't know. What do you think?
So will we be poor?
I think
it's funny.
I think,
and also where we are, you know, and we're in South Africa, so we're always behind, you know. So I don't know if we'll see it in our lifetime. Maybe when we're very old.
I think the question is, do you think in 30 years it will still be necessary for every person to own their own car? That's
no.
the real question.
Even right now in London, you don't even need a car.
No.
You just with apparently you can't really travel there with a car. It's just too hectic. So everybody's traveling by bus or by train.
And it works, no, eh?
Those, they don't even have cars.
The public transport systems there are always on
it
time.
It works, yeah.
It's,
but they don't even have cars. What they call it, you get on the tube, yeah.
When I went to Porto, I'd rather not have a car because it was so
you see,
difficult to
you,
drive around.
And you won't find parking.
Uh-uh.
So some people don't have cars, and I think it's pretty cool.
I think we could definitely
it's good for
see
the environment.
A future like that where less people own a car.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a world where more people own a bicycle or an electric bike or a flippin'
yeah.
something like that. Maybe not like Thailand level where everybody owns a Vuka scooter.
Why?
And drives
what? What's with that? Always, even in the movies, it's just that whole place is just Vuka scooters and what do you call those things? With the three wheels.
Oh, those.
Those tuk tuks or what?
I think they're called tuk tuk
tuk tuks or something. Tuks.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And then you can sit in the back of it and there's music and disco lights.
They have a lot of those.
Yeah.
So Google Meet. Have you ever used Google Meet?
No. I only use Microsoft Teams, is it?
Yes.
And I don't like it. It's not nice.
I've actually never used Microsoft Teams.
Some people want to be, they insist on being on that and it's not nice.
And Zoom?
They don't even use Zoom anymore. No. So, what is this one now?
So Google Meet. Google Meet is just Google's video conferencing
app. Is it new?
It's been around for a minute, but the feature that they're adding isn't new. So Google Meet is adding skin smoothing and teeth whitening effects for video calls.
Always welcome.
Yes.
Until you meet in person. Sorry, who are you? How I didn't realize.
So Google's rolling out new portrait touch-up modes to meet on mobile devices that aim to lightly touch up all your appearances during calls. I don't know if I like
this. This is not good. It's creating unrealistic expectations. And when people meet you in person, they're like, yo.
I don't think I'd be worried about meeting in person, but I feel like there's a fakeness to it. That
yeah, like filters on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah, everyone's in a call looking
everybody's
top-notch.
Looking gorgeous and...
no one looks good anyway.
Yeah, not a spick or a speck on his or her face.
You go from your Google Meet to you're depressed in life because you're like, I look so terrible compared to my Google Meet.
Exactly.
I don't know how it's going to be.
I don't think that's good for mental health.
Though. Early adopters will find it on their Google Meet for their mobile devices. And if I do happen to have a chance to try it out, I will.
Will you show us what you look like with that smoothing... Skin smoothing thing and the
teeth whitening. I hope I don't get skin whitening and teeth smoothing. I don't know what happens.
That's disturbing. I had a vision there now. It's not nice. But I think let me see that if you do that.
I've seen a lot of people. I go into Google Meet with a lot of people, and they have like automatic background changes.
Oh yeah.
So this one person I go into a meet with, she always has the Eiffel Tower in the background. And, like, I've begun to recognize as a person who lives right next to the Eiffel Tower. In my mind, they live in front of the Eiffel Tower.
That's her favorite background.
That's the only.
Does she even live in France?
Huh?
Does she even?
No,
live?
I think she's like from.
She just
Ukraine
likes the Eiffel Tower. Okay.
Yeah. And then, it's a team. I think I was speaking to a team. So everyone in the team has their own different backgrounds. Mm. So they're like one's in Paris and the other one's in like New York and the other one's in. So in that way, it's actually quite cool to have like this augmented life. Reality, it doesn't matter where your office is, you got your premium backdrop. That's pretty cool.
And ring lights, they use ring lights, or is that only for TikTok and Instagram?
I couldn't tell you, but it definitely ring lights beyond just using it for social media, actually great light casters. We call it like a soft light. It's very difficult to get if you're ever taking a video or you ask someone to take a photo of you and the flash goes off and it's like it's like your skin's like reflective.
Mm.
That's like too bright. So if you if you take like a really bright light and you put like a ice cream carton over it.
Yeah, it's just softer.
It softens that light, which means there's not such harsh shadows.
So you then looks extremely white. But I mean, you can still see if somebody's using a ring light. You just look in their
eyes.
You can see these rings. You see this ring.
They're holy.
Yeah. You could always, some people overdo those ring lights. So there's a setting as well where you can set how, it should be a bit warmer, the light, or it should be a bit more white. And even the celebrities, they love good lighting, I think in movies and TV shows, good lighting really makes a difference.
It does.
It makes them look better.
It's how you create that cinematic feel.
Yeah, and also it also smooths your skin because of the way the light is positioned, so you especially could look younger.
I think especially with the right makeup, it exaggerates that perfection.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you're a person who doesn't wear makeup and has a few imperfections, I feel like those lights, they love to highlight them, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, I feel like I look worse under a light. Best looked at with a degree of shadows. You know, like you just need to barely be visible and I look quite good. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And this coming from a YouTuber.
Yeah, you've got to leave something up to the imagination.
Yeah, that's scary because I know the YouTubers, I think that's where it all started with the YouTubers, these ring lights. That's where they kind of got introduced, and then we started seeing them on TikTok.
And then you could TikTok find them along. Being sold at the stores and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, see, now so. You can get it on take a lot now for cheap, man. Cheap, 100 cheap. And something RAM.
Very, very cheap. You know, it was very, when I started doing YouTube, it was incredibly difficult to find lighting and mics in South Africa. I didn't know how radio stations got a hold of mics.
Mics?
Yeah.
Oh, my word. Serious?
Jeepers. It was
you mean
so
proper
difficult.
Mics?
Not just your entry level lapel mic.
Yeah.
Something like what we use here in the studio. It was so difficult. I almost actually started a mic importing business.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like condenser mics. Yeah,
yeah, you couldn't find quality. I actually found, I bought a Razer Siren, which is like just some fancy, you know, studio mic that was popular back, you know, 10 years ago. And I bought it for brand new. I think I bought it from IT Future. It was the last one left
in South Africa. Okay.
And I sold it a year later for double the price.
Wow.
That shows you how unavailable these things
but
were.
Was it a good mic?
Compared to the equipment that I have now, no. But compared to the equipment that was available then, the best.
Yeah.
You know, like, couldn't find it anywhere else.
You know what's so weird is, did you say that thing that you clip on here is called a lapel mic?
Yeah. Hey?
Why do some people, they don't clip it on, they just sit with it and then they talk into it? I think that's so stupid.
I know, some people even use it for interviewing. They're like,
no, man.
Use it as like a physical mic.
You see that a lot on Takealot. They actually physically speak into it, holding it in their hands. You're supposed to clip it on here. You
know? It's supposed to be clipped on.
Yeah.
And I also find it like annoying when they do it because they're like,
yeah, it's like not supposed to. It. Yeah, it's not supposed to be used that way.
And on that,
no, man.
And on that note, it's time to end.
That's it. That's the end of today's and this week's show. And then, obviously, good luck to our Springbok rugby team playing against England tonight.
Yes.
In the semi-final.
Exciting. I'm
telling you right now, they're going to win.
Yeah.
They'll shatter the English. They'll shatter them.
I know where I'm coming if they don't. You jinxed it. Just let that be known.
Yes. Because, I mean, look what they did to France last weekend. They just stepped on their croissants.
I know. I'm not going to even.
They smashed their croissants.
I actually saw on TikTok, it was like, fed cook is better than a croissant. So I saw a lot of stuff like that.
1 point. My nerves, I'm telling you. Okay, but I think tonight's one's going to be much easier and much better. But Kane, as always, thank you so much and enjoy what's left of the weekend.
Thank you very much. And the same to you and to all of our listeners. See you next week. Same time, same place.
Absolutely. See you next week. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
take to the grave. I'm a loser, but I've got the ace of spades. I would deal with the weight of the world up in silence. I'm a keeper of secrets, I'll take.